The first study section on this site was about finding purpose, basically because that is the beginning of making your life worthwhile, giving you the reason to be here, giving people the reasons, giving people the drive, giving people the understanding why they're here. But finding your purpose alone, although that is obviously the start, cannot be where it stops. Hopefully many of you, after listening to the first seven parts, either found your purpose or you're well on your way to finding purpose. But finding it alone is not enough. It's like a doctor who is a great surgeon who never puts it into practice, or, to put it a different way, let's say he never shows up for work, or he's so drunk he can't do his job, or he just is lazy, doesn't want to do his job. What good is it if he is the greatest surgeon on earth? So finding purpose is the beginning. It's not the ending. Don't think that you've gone through the first series and now, hey, everything's all good and over and you can just go on your merry way. It doesn't work that way. The second part is every bit as important, and this part is about living your purpose, and to do that, you need discipline. We have to have the discipline now that we found our purpose or we're on our way to finding purpose, to actually implementing it. We have to have the drive. We have to have the motivation to put this into practice. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I do believe it's chapter 9, verse 27, he said that he disciplines his body to keep it under control, lest after he preaches to others, he might be disqualified. In the verses right before this one, he was talking about how even though everyone runs, only one receives the prize. And we talked about also that runners show temperance and control while they're in training so that they can be the best. The King James uses the word mastery, wanting to be the master, wanting to be the winner of the race. Paul talks about this is just for a crown that is perishable. We are running the eternal race for a crown that is imperishable. So now that you've started discovering or have discovered your purpose, or one of several, hopefully you're like the servant who has the five talents, or even the two. You have a multitude of different things to do. Now you have to start putting it into practice. And that's the toughest part. You can go to college, or you can go to a trade school, or you can go to a journeyman's program, and learn how to do something. But if you don't implement it, if you don't go do it, if you don't put it into practice, that knowledge is of no value. So now we have to have the discipline. And that's what we're going to talk about in this series. It is the key to running the good race to win the prize. Does anybody remember the second place finisher? Not really. In the Olympics, you have the gold, silver, bronze. But for the most part, the gold medal winner is the one that everyone remembers. You want to run for the top prize. The eternal prize, the crown that is never perishing. Now we're going to talk about various forms of discipline. There are a number of them. One, of course, is spiritual. That would be the most important. You have far too many Christians who allow their sin nature to come forward. In 1 John, he talks about that we who have the Spirit of the Lord should not be sinning. As we all know, we still have a sin nature. So some people get confused about that because they look at that and they go, how in the world can you not sin? It's going to catch us. You're right. With the sin nature, cravings and desires, they sneak up on you. They're almost like a snake, a serpent that as soon as you walk by, it comes out of the weeds and bites you on the heel, strikes you from behind. You're not aware of it, but it gets you. I like to look at it this way. Even though you have a sin nature, it doesn't mean that you have to go out of your way to fulfill it. In fact, that's what Paul was talking about when he said he controls his body. He disciplines himself. He keeps himself from sinning. To illustrate what I'm talking about between the fact that, yes, we still have a sin nature, but no, we are not supposed to continue sinning. Let's use sexual immorality, since that is, and always has been, one of the most prevalent sins in man's history. A sin nature is something akin to if men are in a room. A very pretty woman walks into the room and suddenly strips down. Probably every man in that room being caught off guard is going to look. I don't care if he's a preacher or not. I don't care if he's a Catholic priest and took a vow of celibacy. He's going to look. That's like the serpent striking you from behind. You didn't see it coming. It caught you off guard. Your sin nature is going to make you want to look. That's totally different than you going on the internet and searching for pornography. That is what John was talking about. He talks about as a Christian, we have the Spirit in us to no longer sin. Yes, we have a sin nature. Yes, sometimes it's going to catch us. But that's far different than us going out of our way to sin. I remember one young man, he was talking about sex, and he made the excuse that, well, Christ has already forgiven me, so I'm just going to go out and have fun. No, that's a total mockery of the gift God gave us, and hopefully that young man got his act together, because he will stand in judgment. You do not mock Christ and the gift he gave us. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. There's no way you can say you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you go out and purposefully, wantonly find sin, seek sin out. In fact, 1 John 3:6 says that no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. And in verse 8, most translations say that he who practices sin is of the devil. So spiritual sin is the biggest thing, the strongest thing, the greatest thing that we need to bring under control. We need to get our souls right with the Lord. Second, of course, is our flesh. We have cravings. We need to bring our bodies under control. We're going to talk about that. Third is mental. It's getting ourselves in the right state of mind. Doubts, apathy, all kinds of other things in our mental state. Depression. We don't feel we're worthy. And as I tell people, nobody's worthy. But through Christ, everybody becomes worthy. Because he said you are. He made you worthy. We aren't worthy. He made you worthy. The Bible calls those in Christ saints. We will stand before him without blemish, completely clean, sinless, because he cleansed us. He took away our sins. He is the one who makes us worthy to stand before the Lord. It is not what we do. It is what he already did.